April 1st.
This meeting is being recorded.
7:17 p.m. And I'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Mayor Ruby?
Here.
Andy Anderson?
Here.
Chris Napoli?
Here.
Axel Buelholm?
Here.
Kurt Armstrong?
Here.
Greg Marksmiller?
Here.
Bill Rodewald?
Yes, here.
Thank you, Council. Full house tonight. So we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Council, you have two sets of minutes before you tonight, the minutes of March 4th, 2021, and the minutes of March 9, 2021.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I move to approve the minutes of March 4th and March 9th in block.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second. I'm here.
All right, I have Chris Napoli moved, Andy Anderson second, to move the minutes of to approve the minutes of March 4 and March 9 in block. Any discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Greg?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. The minutes have been approved. Moving on to approval of the consent agenda, we have nothing on that agenda. Moving to approval of the agenda, and before you make a motion, I want to ask the person making the motion to note the correction at the very end of the agenda. The agenda accidentally says adjournment first and then executive session. Those need to be reversed so that the executive session occurs before adjournment. So is there a motion? Anybody?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Move to approve the agenda with the noted change on the adjournment after executive session.
All righty, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Chris Napoli moves. Bill Rodewald seconds approval of the agenda with the notation to correct the error at the end to put executive session before adjournment. Any discussion? No discussion. We'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I tried to get my mute off. Is it informational items number 16, does that need to be addressed as well? Or is that, would that follow under personnel matter?
The information items is just a notation that there's material in the back of your packet. That's what Lori just said.
Okay. So thank you.
Yep, in the agenda. Thank you for noticing that. All right. Any further discussion? If not, we'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Andy?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Greg?
Yep.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. Just a quick notation. Part of the challenge with this agenda is Lori's been using some software that helps her create these agendas, and she's learning it, and it's so smart that it moves stuff around on the agenda while she's trying to print it. So that's why that all happens. So we'll move to staff reports and committee reports, and I'll start with the staff report, and I'll call on Greg Welsford, please. Anything you want to add, Greg?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Just a couple of things. I want to highlight, let me pull that up. I want to highlight the exceptional job that the Dillingham Police Department and the Dillingham Police Chief and his officers did in February in handling that shooting up above the Kanackanack Hospital. I failed to highlight enough at the last meeting, so I want to make sure that I emphasize to the council what an extraordinary job they did, and to say thank you on behalf of the city for how they handled that situation. It ultimately ended with no loss of life, which is a wonderful outcome. And it's to really to their credit that it came out that way. The only other thing, Madam Mayor, is to formalize my notice to the council of the fact that I issued Emergency Order 2.0 and then the next day issued Emergency Order 2.1. The ordinance that gives the manager authority to issue emergency orders, which is 2020-22S, requires the manager to notify the council of the issuance of new orders. So on March 30th, I issued Emergency Order 2.0 that was sent to all of the council and the mayor by the city clerk the same afternoon it was issued. So you were given notice that way, and now I'm formalizing that notice again as part of my report to the council tonight. Emergency Order 2.1 was issued to correct a one-word mistake in the drafting process, so it didn't really change the substance of Emergency Order 2.0, but there was a technical drafting mistake that had to be corrected, and that's what Emergency Order 2.1 did. So that's all I have, Madam Mayor, by way of my report.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Council, any questions for Greg? Okay, any comments about other staff reports?
Madam Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, nothing really from finance and budget. We've been pretty much working on the FY21 revision, which is up for review tonight by the council. And Nita's reports have covered pretty much everything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Andy. So moving on then, I guess, code committee, anything to report from you, Chris?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We met on March 11th, and in your packet tonight, you have a couple recommendations from the code committee from our last meeting. One is we wanted to, in your packet, it's the 2021-3, and that amends 8.16.010 and section 8.16020. It reflects the E911 responsibilities, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the police chief for all the suggestive languages changes and making our life easy on the code. And then also we also have in our packet 2021-04, and that amends 8.18 and repeals 8.30.020. It makes a uniform process for marijuana license review. We haven't had that in ordinance, so the code committee recommends approval of both in your packet this evening. Just a side note, I want to thank Paul Liedberg. He did a presentation on what the Friends of the Landfill Committee is doing, and they are working on a proposal for a fee schedule of electronics. Paul gave me a draft today to review. It's got a lot of good information in there for the council. I'm not sure when the Friends of the Landfill will recommend that to the code, but we have another meeting next week. So it looks like it might be ready for our meeting next week. That's all I have, Madam Mayor, if there aren't any questions.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Council, any questions about or the committee reports or any of the other staff reports? I had one. I wanted to also mention, accommodations for the police department. Our last meeting, we were pretty involved in discussion about, you know, various parts of our COVID protective measures. And so really, we just didn't get a chance to mention it. But, you know, it is pretty important, and really happy that that worked out so that we didn't have more negative consequences than we did. I also wanted to just commend the police department for just being responsive. In the packet, it talked about the chief working with the mental health center on behavior health response, and also working with working to try to help provide, you know, a shelter. And, you know, again, it just points to just how attentive the chief and the department try to be in a time of need like now. So just wanted to mention that. There were other things in the staff packets, continuing ed, that the clerk and other staff have done. And I just can't say enough how much I appreciate how hard our staff works to stay to stay informed and educated at a time like this, and we really need it. So if there's nothing else, I'll move on the agenda. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to offer?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you for offering that about the police chief's report. You know, they had closed the lobby for the homeless because of the pandemic, and he... because of the cold weather, they opened up that lobby, and I appreciate the efforts of that department. He seems to be shorthanded, but always doing good work, and I wanted to make sure that I congratulated the city clerk for her, I think there's like three trainings that she completed, and she continues to accelerate her learning, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Chris. Council, any further questions or comments about staff reports?
Madam Mayor, this is Greg.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I'd be completely remiss if I did not mention Chief of Police's efforts and worked with the Homelessness Task Force, and how important his input has been and the work he's done that. And so I just want to show my appreciation with that.
Thank you, Greg. Council, any further comments, questions? Okay, moving on then, and just to keep you aware, I'm looking at a screen that's a little bit far away from me, so it's one of the reasons I came in so Lori could help with, or I can count on her for the technology that I thought we might need tonight. So moving on to public hearings. Public hearing tonight on Ordinance 2020-102. An ordinance of the Dillingham City Council extending the expiration date of Ordinance 2020-22S. So before we start taking public testimony, let me remind people that testimony is limited to 3 minutes in duration. We really need the person to give us their name. And also, we're trying really hard to make it possible for as many people to participate as want to. Thanks to Greg, we now know that if you press *9 on your phone, it should show a raised hand. If you're attending by way of the Zoom, a web-based, then you should have you should be able to use the menu to raise your hand. And so we'll try to acknowledge as many people as we can that want to speak. We'll be looking at you by phone number. So that's why it's important that you say your name in some cases when you start testifying. So we have four people that contacted us in advance about testifying, so I'm going to call on them first. And again, just a reminder, please keep it to 3 minutes because we want to allow as many people as possible to speak. So the first person who called in advance to speak to this ordinance is Liz Clark. Liz, are you on?
Hi, yes I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Perfect. Thank you for the opportunity to address the council on this most important night. During this testimony, I wish to provide some information regarding agenda item number 6, resolution to adopt ordinance 2021-02. It is my hope that after you hear my testimony, that you will either vote no to extend the ordinance or at least amend Emergency Order 2.1 to remove the travel quarantine for all, regardless of vaccine status. First, I submitted to the council via email on March 31st the results of a petition that circulated in Dillingham for 2 weeks. The language of this petition is simple. The signatories would like the City Council to remove the COVID-19 mitigation mandates and emergency orders and instead replace these orders with a clear set of guidelines and recommendations for visitors and residents to follow. This petition received 243 signatures from Dillingham residents. This represents roughly 10% of the overall population and roughly 16% of all voting aged residents. Also, 2021-02 gives the city manager the authority to enact Emergency Order 2.1. EO 2.1 allows for the setting up of two different classes of people in this town, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. These two different classes of people will have different rules and therefore different rights. I want to remind you tonight that this is exactly how the Holocaust started, with propaganda stating that Jewish people were vectors of disease and dirty and should be avoided. And we all know how that progressed. I've seen some similarly disturbing propaganda here in town. I've seen vaccinated people call the unvaccinated vectors of disease. I've seen a petition in favor of the proposed mandates claiming that they're fair and balanced. I want you to ask yourself tonight, who are these mandates fair for? They're fair for the people who have decided to take an experimental vaccine. According to the CDC, people who are vaccinated can still get and spread COVID. So if you want fair, either remove the travel quarantine for all or continue it for all. I want to remind you that you have a choice tonight. You can choose to vote yes to 21-02, which will divide our town even further. You can choose to be the person who reduces the rights of an entire population here. You can make the example that their voice doesn't matter. Or you can choose to honor your oath, which was to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska and represent the people who voted you into your seat. You can come to the table with the hundreds of citizens who have spoken up and want to see a change. You can choose to show them that you are willing to listen to them and to make a change for better. Please vote no on 21-02 tonight. If you will not vote no, then please amend EO 2.1 to remove the travel quarantine for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Moving next to Cameron Poindexter. Oh, and we're checking to see if he's on. Okay, we got you in the room now, Cameron. Go ahead.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, great. Excellent. Thank you, Madam Mayor, for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Cameron Poindexter. I'm the president and CEO of Trigon Limited. I want to point out to the council a couple of technical issues with Ordinance 2021-02. One, the Interim City Manager's Disaster Response Authority is limited by Dillingham Municipal Code to Chapter 2.64.040, which limits the city manager's authority to take certain enumerated emergency actions. In other words, when the state has declared an emergency, it is the city manager that's empowered to, among other things, make and issue rules and regulations. But the state of Alaska's emergency declaration expired on February 14th, 2021. Second, I want to point out that Ordinance number 2021-02's underlying rationale is insufficient to extend the city's disaster declaration. Earlier tonight, I emailed the city council, the city manager, and the mayor information outlining exactly what I'm talking about. And this is a legal and ethical issue for the council to consider. Do you follow your own rules? And if not tonight, then how can you expect the city, the citizens of Dillingham and those traveling to Dillingham to follow the same rules that you implement? Your integrity is broken if you do that. I'd like to share that earlier today, KDLG published a story on emergency order 2.1. And I'm quoted in there talking about the impacts to the business community. I was promptly followed up by a call by the city manager earlier today. And the city manager said, Cameron, wait a second. I thought you were satisfied with these rules. For the city council's edification, I spent about 5 hours on phone calls with interim manager Rosford, and was very clear in my communication that none of those regulations worked for the business community. Here's why. When we lose even 10% of our business opportunity, it's the difference between breaking even and losing money. So the impacts of this ordinance will continue to severely and negatively impact our businesses. Many will shut down. Many won't come back to Dillingham. There will be long-term consequences of this to real people's lives and livelihoods. Our ability to provide jobs for people to pay for food to put it on the table. So Tugi Unlimited passed a resolution. You also have been emailed that earlier this week. I asked that both emails be counted as part of the record. I urge the city council members to table indefinitely or vote no on Ordinance 2021-02. Otherwise, you're asking us to follow rules that your predecessors put in place that you yourselves won't follow. I imagine later tonight you might hear from City Manager Brelsford or the City Legal Counsel. In both cases, they have an opinion. Ours is strong, and it's measured against other municipality lawyers' opinions that are very strong in this state. Do you want to put the city at risk? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cameron. I was just going to... Just going to try to caution you that the 3 minutes were up. So we'll move to Jack Savo, Jr.
Madam Mayor, my name is Jack Savo, Jr. I'm calling in tonight as representative of Tribune Limited Board of Directors, where I hold the seat as chairman. And this is a follow-up to Cameron Poindexter's testimony that he just provided. Tugian Limited passed Resolution 2021-02, and I'm going to assume that they're in the City Council's packet and that you have that, as they were forwarded and given for input in a timely manner. I'm sitting here, you know, clenching my hands and coming up with a reason to talk to you tonight about the human element. The human element of the rules and regulations that, quite frankly, I think are being taken for granted. The Tugi Unlimited Board of Directors sat for quite a while in discussion pertaining to this resolution that we presented to the city. We did that because people are important to us. Our shareholders are important to us. Every single breathing person is important to us, whether they have a job or not, whether over the age of 16 or not, or whether they contribute or not. Our shareholders are important, and there's some of you that are listening to me right now that are shareholders in this corporation. And I hope you appreciate the passion that the president and CEO spoke with just now, and the passion that I hope I'm conveying to you right now. we're talking about money. Money is, you know, you earn it, you don't, you get it, you don't. One of the things that the hard discussion we had was they have assistance. The federal government and the tribes are providing assistance for our people, Jack. They're providing assistance for our people, Jack. And I'm like, okay, I'm with you. What's $1,000 do? It feeds me for a month. It feeds my family for a month. So it got me to thinking about that old adage. Give a person a fish, they eat for a day. Teach a person to fish, they eat for the rest of their life. These ordinances or mandates, correct myself, mandates are, when they started, were good. They protected us. They protected the community. Now we know more. Now we see more. We see what it's doing to our people. And the board of directors want the city to reevaluate their emergency declaration and replace the mandates with strong health safety recommendations. I'm kind of bouncing all over the place because I don't feel like 2 minutes is enough time to convey the message that I need to convey to the city council. However, I will ask you here tonight to add the human element to your decision. It's not just you, the decision makers. Every one of you, if you got a quarantine, you're not affected. Your job's going to pay you, or you're a commercial fisherman, and don't matter. Our shareholders don't have that luxury. Our shareholders have had missed necessary medical screenings and appointments, and that's affected their life. They can't pay their bills. There's a lot of things that are at stake tonight, Madam Mayor and City Council.
Can I ask you to wrap it up, Jack? I apologize for having to press you, but yeah. We do want to let a lot of people speak.
I'll wrap it up a minute. Like I said, 3 minutes is not quite enough time, but implore you to add the human element to your decisions tonight. The president CEO has showed you that you are not following your own rules. The board of directors have passed a resolution that says that we want you to reevaluate what you're doing and replace your mandates with strong recommendations. Think about the people that you see that are bagging your groceries or serving your food at the restaurants or that are making your bed after you stay at the hotel. It's not just you that's affected by your decision tonight. It's the people that can't pay their bills the single mother that can't feed their son or daughter breakfast before school, as those programs have been cut. Thank you for your time. And I would, again, encourage the City Council, Madam Mayor, all those listening, when you make your decision tonight, put the human element into it. Put the citizens of Dillingham above your own selves tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. And just a quick reminder to folks, I know it's difficult, to keep it to 3 minutes if you can so that, you know, as many people as possible can speak. And that way we don't exhaust ourselves too much and we're still fresh for the next person. So the next person on the list, Michelle Abrams. Oh, really? I'm looking at my list and it's Michelle. What is Robert? Am I looking at the wrong list? Robert Cameron, and then I'll call on Michelle after that.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I really appreciate it, City Council. To introduce, my name is Robert Cameron. I'm the new owner of the Napa store. I've been the owner of the Napa store there for about a year. I wrote you guys an email, a letter earlier this week, and I'd be happy to forward that to anybody in the public that wants to see that too. But, you know, I just want to kind of follow up on some of the testimony that you guys have heard so far. I know 2020 was a tough year for everybody. I mean, even looking at the city's budget, listening to some of the other business owners or the people that live, you know, my employees and the people that are in town there. But I think that there's a, you know, it was a hard year for us also as an Apple store. Business was down substantially. But I think there's a more important question to ask that I really wanted to kind of dive into, and that is we really need to compare what are the results of this emergency order and does it outweigh the costs? You know, it's a standard kind of risk analysis that you look at, but, you know, and I'm not impugning the intentions. I think that at the beginning of this, the intentions of the city council and the mayor have been outstanding and anything but, you know, noble, trying to keep the community safe. But it's time at this point, we're far enough into this to look at the results. And there is a real cost from these mandates. It's not just to businesses like mine that are hurting. It's not just to the schools and the sports teams that can't go out, to the families that lose out on things that are really important to them. It's not just to our community where there's this increased divisiveness and division amongst us as a community, but there is a real cost to the mandates themselves in terms of lives lost. And I think that it's becoming very evident from the data that's out there that preliminary data from 2020 shows that there's a big increase in deaths from other diseases, heart disease, cancer, diabetes. There's also, you know, speculative data that goes in about the massive increases in mental illness and depression, associated side effects, suicides, and all those things that are just very hard on our communities. And kind of just to quantify that, I want to bring some numbers to that. I spent some time today looking through a lot of the death data or the data that's in the state's available online. 2019, I just want to give a couple of points as to the Southwest Alaska data. And this includes everything from the Aleutian Islands to the Bristol Bay up to Bethel. But there was, you know, it's about 42,000 people population. There was 281 deaths in 2019. Of that, 48 of them were cancer deaths, about 17%. 44 of them are heart disease deaths, 15%. 36 people of drugs and alcohol dying in 2019, and suicide was 30 people. It breaks my heart as we talk about any of these. Every death is a tragedy. And I think the conclusion needs to be is that there's all of these other forms of death and destruction that are in our communities that are actually being made worse by these mandates. I think that the data is very clear on that. So you have to ask yourself and say, okay, well, is there some massive benefit that we're getting on the other side of this? If we're making these things worse, what is our benefit? And the reality is the statistics, I've analyzed them, other people have analyzed them. There's very little difference between communities that have done harsh lockdowns, mandates, and the communities that have stayed relatively open. And I would be happy to go more into those details, but obviously I need to keep this to 3 minutes. I'm trying to stay concise here. But the reality is that if we're not getting the positive results from mandates and we are seeing massive negative results from those mandates, whether it be to the business communities or in terms of real lives that are being lost, why do we continue these mandates? And why are we continuing to go down this road? I totally understand where they were coming from at the beginning, but I think as we're heading into the summer here, rates are down all across the state. Everywhere that you look, the COVID disease is receding. And it's really, it's time to stop with these mandates, to stop doing more damage to ourselves, and to start rebuilding the community and rebuilding, you know, what has been lost. And that's all I have to say. I'm happy to add more if anybody has any questions, but I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Okay. So the next person that called in advance was Michelle Abrams. And Michelle, we can't see your name, so if you're on the phone, if you would raise your hand, we'll pull you in. Or, yeah, because we don't know what phone number. Well, actually, you said you were going to be dialing in by Zoom, so we're kind of looking for your name. so we can't find Michelle. Maybe what we'll do is we'll go ahead and take testimony just from the floor, and hopefully one of the phone numbers where we don't recognize the name by it, maybe one of those will be Michelle, and we can appreciate she called in advance, but we just can't we can't identify her on the screen. So what we'll do now is we'll open it to testimony, and again, ask people, please keep your testimony in within 3 minutes. And that, again, is to allow as many people as possible to speak to us, and the council will be here for as long as it takes, but it does help everybody stay fresh and attentive if we don't go too late into the night. So the first person, Lori, can you... Okay, so he can see top of the list. Let's go ahead and go with Caleb. And do be sure and introduce yourself so that we know for sure who we're talking to. So, Caleb, we just pulled you into the room.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. sorry, for the record, my name is Caleb Westfall. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Dear Madam Mayor, Manager, the City Council members, and those listening at home, I'm speaking on behalf of myself, Caleb Westfall, a citizen of Dillingham, and most likely to my loss, not my gain. But I'm speaking from a place to seek negotiation. And through negotiation, hopefully, peace. I am saddened by the desire for one side to win or the other side to win, and it is to win out of anger. This will produce a winner and a loser. The winner will only have satisfaction of winning, and the loser inevitably will turn bitter. This results of winners and losers in a social setting, in our social dilemmas. Our social dilemmas will result in division, further division, and sadly turn to chaos. One side will not get peace by being right. They will only be right. And I'm speaking as either side, not just my side or your side, either of our sides in the decision before us here. But there is another way. But we have to choose to be receptive to that we do not want to hear. We will have to speak clear to one another, be precise in our speech, truly seek fairness and equality, though we cannot move to negotiation. Sorry. Though this we can move to negotiation amongst the community and develop a peaceful path forward. No one group can be raised without all others being lowered. This thing we call community, family, it's a balance. All things are connected, and all things move together. I feel this extension of 2021-02 will set up our citizens to have their civil rights violated. The women's movement had it right, and they have it right. My body, my choice. If Rosa Parks wanted safety over freedom, she would have never sat in the front of the bus. If Dr. King wanted safety over freedom, who have never put himself at the front of the movement. Did Joan of Arc choose safety? Amelia Earhart, the Wright brothers inventing airplanes? None of these great women and men decided to stay safe when others thought that was the best choice for them. I am hurt that some of you or anyone wants to tell me, a graduate of a 4-year bachelor's degree in health science, a collegiate athlete, a commercial fisherman, a teacher, a citizen of Dillingham, an EMS first responder and a firefighter to stay safe. Please allow me and others like me to continue to be brave and live our lives and choose to put ourselves at risk to serve you. I have been acting and calling on others, yourselves, to pursue things that are meaningful and not what is expedient. I ask you, the council, do not pass ordinance 2021-02, the extension of 2020 SAP-22S. Please be brave in your capacity. You ask the people for the opportunity to represent us, the people. Please choose to do that now and seek the peace that we all desperately need by the city council members elected by the people of Dillingham to make the decisions for us, the electorate. Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council, Manager, and those listening for your time.
Thank you, Caleb. So moving to the next person, and let me remind people that we learned just before the meeting that if you're on your cell phone, you're dialed in, you would push *9 to raise your hand, and then you'll push *6 when you need to unmute yourself to speak. So Lori's going to tell me the next. Okay, so we leave that because we're not in citizen comment yet. Is that the next person that, okay. So now some of these, are they, those are all names. This is not phone numbers, right? Okay. So Casey Diosik, you're in the, no, Casey DeShock, you're in the meeting room. The floor is
Can you hear me, Madam Mayor?
Yeah, we sure can.
Okay. Thank you. For the record, my name is Casey DeShock, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and to the city manager and council for hearing me and everybody that's listening to me. I am speaking tonight to recommend that the council vote no on extending the emergency ordinance and that the city move to a point of eliminating the quarantine and the mask mandate, not saying that businesses are unable to implement their own policies. Public policy has always been and always will be an exercise in trade-offs. Everything that we have has a cost. And 381 days ago, the world was changed when we heard that we were going to have 15 days to slow the spread. Here in Bristol Bay, the context of the 1919 Spanish flu, everything that's happened, we were well within our rights, and it was very reasonable for us to be nervous of what would happen. But in 1919, we were still 20 years away from a flu vaccine. Anchorage had 1,800 people. Air travel was not very possible. We had no running water. We had no electricity. Things were much different. Somewhere along the line, 15 days to slow the spread. We heard 15 days to slow the spread, and we complied, and we complied well. 15 days turned to 30 days to slow the spread. We canceled Easter. We closed business. We hunkered down. We closed our schools. We closed our churches, and we complied. 30 days to slow the spread became flatten the curve because we didn't want to overwhelm our hospitals. We started to implement social distancing. We missed families. We missed graduations. We continued to keep the schools closed for the rest of the year. We were all in this together. We didn't know what was going to happen, and we complied. Somewhere in there, and you can look at a KDLG picture of graduates of 2020 out in front of the school, not socially distanced, without masks, but somewhere in there, the mask became necessary, and we complied. And I have complied, and everybody else has complied. We moved to the summer, and the city and the hospital begged our governor to preemptively close our fishery, and some of us disagreed. Many of us disagreed. We said that we could do it safely, and you were wrong. You were very wrong. And it could have been millions and millions and millions of dollars of lost revenue that happened, but we forgot and we forgave. Through the fall, we delayed schooling. We put our children in masks. We quarantined. We went to hybrid schooling. And then on November 12th, we closed our schools. We asked, we went through, and somewhere after this, flattened the curve, became let's have absolutely zero cases. So we canceled Christmas. We canceled gatherings, and we continued on. And what we needed was a vaccine. We have that vaccine. It's available for everybody that is everybody that wants to have the vaccine can get the vaccine. But now we're worried about variants and maybe vaccines don't work, destroying 100 years of science in the efficacy of vaccines. But herd immunity, that keeps on spreading. We don't know what's going on. So all I can say is that in good conscience, I cannot comply anymore. I've given you, and this community has given you, 381 days, and on this Easter weekend, I urge the council, vote no. Let's move beyond this, bring the community together, get ourselves together, end the COVID restrictions. Let us get together without masks to hug together, to realize that there's nothing to be afraid of anymore. If you are afraid, I've given you 381 days. Now you have to prove to me why I have to continue to do what I'm doing. I've given you 381 days. Give me a month. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Casey. Okay. What's the number? Okay, so the person we're calling on is at phone number 841-4739, and you have the floor. Could you make sure you say your name so we know who's speaking?
Hello, Alice. This is Michelle Abrams. I'm sorry my phone wasn't powerful enough to do Zoom. First of all, I want to thank you all for listening to my testimony. I would like for you all to vote no to this ordinance, 2021-02. I believe it's time to lift the restrictions and open up our community. Many people have been vaccinated. Out-of-state travelers are required to go to the Alaska Travel Portal for screening. And if a person does get into Dillingham and they have COVID, the DHSS will do the contract tracing. So I don't know why we have to have a permit here in Dillingham. That has never made sense to me. The state of Alaska does not have a mask mandate, and I believe that Dillingham shouldn't have one any longer. I would like to see local businesses have the option of making their own mask requirements or not. I have seen a lot this last year in our community that's been troubling me. And I don't want to repeat all what's been said, but I do want to let you know that one of the most difficult things that I saw this winter was a passenger of mine, an elder, in his 80s, outside of the bank, standing outside in the line for 20-plus minutes at 20 below zero because he couldn't go in the bank. He did not have a cell phone. I stood with him as long as I possibly could and tried to get him into the bank. The bank would not let him in. And I just want to leave you with that I felt so helpless that I couldn't do more. There are no taxis running. This person had, like I said, he didn't have a phone. I have seen many stories like this this last year under COVID. And I really, really would like you all not to pass this ordinance. I think it's time to open up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, moving next to Dan Dunaway. And Dan, you're in the room.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. I haven't done Zoom much. Thank you for the time. This is Dan Dunaway. First off, I support Liz Clark's position in entirety. I think she spoke more eloquently than I could on it. Also, as you well know, I've sent you multiple letters expressing numerical information that to me proves we do not have an emergency. We do have to be careful, but we do not and have not had an emergency that justifies these restrictions. Going on further, the concerns that several people said about creating a special class of citizens. I believe I sent you an email this morning or yesterday with some links to the American Civil Liberties Union, two different articles, one from May of 2020, expressing deep concern for these kinds of behaviors of vax passes and so on. And apparently they're softening their position, but still very concerned. It just came out March 31st. I hope you took the time to read them. If these kinds of things concern me. I'm very concerned for the folks that can't work and don't have the safety and the luxury and the privilege to sit at home and get paid for either not working or working in a highly protected area. I admire the folks in the grocery stores, in the auto shops that still soldier on and to my knowledge have not severely been impacted. I liked Mr. Cambron's concerns about the economy and the other impacts, and that's where I kind of want to head. We're sitting here trying to save everybody because they're scared of a disease that is bad, but in the very real problems that are being generated or extended because we got this lockdown, it doesn't make sense. I just really object to this and this bit about only if we can just save one person from COVID. Well, what about my neighbor that committed suicide sometime last spring? I don't know if it was related to COVID or not, but certainly we'd already been tied down and restricted for a while. I miss his happy face and so on. And to go on with this kind of whimsical restrictions by whimsy, what would we do if we ran the salmon fishery like we're doing this with no guidelines, no critical data, just ignoring it and carrying on because we're scared? Let's get rid of this. We could even table it. We could and come up with some criteria, then guide the city manager that if we had, say, 5 infections and 4 people in the hospital, it's time to get more restrictive. But we need hard criteria. I've been begging to see medical people step up and say, what would there be a true medical emergency? And I don't understand why that hasn't come to surface. Leading to that, I've been frustrated that we don't see all the public comments that were solicited by the manager. Why are they? Why can't we review them? I'm accustomed to doing that at the Board of Fish meeting. So you know where some of the general tone of the people are. We just have to take his word for it, and frankly, I don't trust it anymore. So I'll end with that, but it's time to end this lockdown and these restrictions and allow people to move freely and earn a living, allow people to use a harbor in a normal manner, and so on. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay, moving to the next person, and just a reminder that we're asking you to keep your testimony within 3 minutes. That's actually in the code. It's not something I'm making up here. 3 minutes, and so that we can sort of get on with the rest of the testimony tonight. So the next person we're hearing from is Jeannie Timmerman. Jeannie, you're in the room. You have to unmute yourself. Jeannie, you're up. Okay.
I never called in.
Oh, you didn't? You're here.
No, I don't know how I got. I don't know how I did. I'm on Zoom, but I didn't raise my hand, I don't think. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Well,
as long as I do have 1 minute, though, I just would like to really affirm what I've heard so far. The testimony I've heard so far, I certainly agree with it, and I would urge the council to not pass this ordinance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jeannie. Okay, we'll move to the next person. So the number we have, 843-0627. So we don't know who you are. You'll have to introduce yourself. And you're in the room. Hello.
Hello. Is this me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. This is Dr. Rich Asher. I'm a greenhorn on all this, so I'm sorry. I just want to encourage us to back off from so many restrictions where people, because of quarantine, are declining to go to Anchorage and get checked for things that they need to be checked for cancer, heart disease, a variety of illnesses. And because they don't want to come home and quarantine. I'm seeing this in the villages and I'm seeing it in our own community. So I just want to request that we don't extend this again, and that we allow people to make their own judgments. And we've done well. We have immunizations. ANMC has had very few admissions compared to 2 months ago. So the immunizations are working. And I understand that some people are choosing not to have the immunization, and that's their choice, and they're right. Yet the numbers that have taken the immunization has had a profound impact on decreasing the prevalence of this infection. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Asher. Moving to the next person. It looks like Norm Van Vactor, you're in the room.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, Norm Van Vactor. I'm speaking in behalf of myself, and thanks for the opportunity to do that. I guess I'll maybe be the first one to speak in behalf of what I know as the silent majority. First of all, I'm very supportive of the City Council extending the emergency order. One just needs to look at the newspapers and realize that while we see the light at the end of the tunnel, we're certainly not out of the woods. The state numbers today were not good. And in certain communities that have had extremely lax rules and regulations, the numbers speak for themselves. An earlier speaker spoke to bringing humanity into the conversation, and I applaud the council for doing just that, quite frankly, all along. I thank you for putting public safety and the health of our community first. I'm also supportive of the actions that the city manager took this week. I think it's extremely progressive. I think it's a step in the right direction. It says if you do things right, that we can get back to normal, and we can get back to normal fairly quickly. But we can't be selfish about this. I would also, however, also include and suggest that as part of the ongoing conversation, that we just can't throw the doors wide open, and that testing certainly needs to remain a significant component so that we don't let this get away from us. We've put too much and we've invested too much time into protecting our communities and our elders to this point to let it get away from us. So again, I applaud the council for doing what they've done, for all of us making the sacrifices that we've made, and we can't give up when we have the end zone in sight. I'd also like to make a quick comment on the homeless situation, and I applaud the community group that's getting together and speaking about that. And I want to thank the chief of police for what he did personally and his staff in terms of opening up a room for a couple people to at least have a warm space on a warm floor to get out of the cold. I'd also like to applaud, I know there's been some criticism of city operators, realizing that there's a shortage of them. And I know money's tight, and our driveways quite often get plowed back in. It's tough to dig out. But in the last couple of days, I saw a bulldozer operator going down Wood River, opening up driveways and really making a big difference. So just in general, I thank and applaud the council and their staff for doing what they're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Norm. The next person is Robert Scott, and you're in the room.
Can you hear me, Madam Mayor?
Yes, we sure can.
I thank you for your time. I have just a couple things. It's I have written several times. It's clear that the city councilmen know that my opinion is that we have gone too long for this. So I don't want to belabor that too much. I'm very concerned about the direction that we continue to go. However, in particular with 2021-02 and the interim city manager's recommendations, there seems to be a lack of continuity and lack of consistency. And so those disturb me that the decisions that are being made and the policies that are being considered are not consistent with each other. By the interim city general man by the interim city manager in his policy analysis. He states that by mid-June, 70% of the United States will be partially vaccinated. By July 20, 90% of the population will be vaccinated. This is according to the CDC, their projections, and yet we're considering pushing this emergency order to September 3rd. And as a very concerned community member, it just seems like it's going to be into perpetuity. Like the numbers you're not coordinating these numbers. That's very challenging for me to sit and applaud what is being done when I continue to be led around by my nose. And it's just one more week. You know, we see light at the end of the tunnel. Let's not give up here. And there's just no light at all. It just seems like we're going on and on and on without any notion of withdrawal or pullback. And for me, that is very disconcerting. I've talked to several councilmen, and I know there's concern about overreach. And my question is, when will we be concerned about overreach? At what point do we think that we've gone too far? Why are we unwilling to make firm declarations, give firm numbers, firm statistics that, as has been mentioned earlier tonight, how many cases being treatment, which is the key number, not just positives, because all of the data that we have now with the vaccinations indicate that infections will continue with the vaccination. They're not foolproof, but that they will mitigate some of the symptoms and hopefully have a great impact on the mortality rate, which we're all grateful for. But even in that, the information is conflicting. So as we consider that, I would ask the city councilman to think about, why are these numbers, why continue to push it off? Why give us a date in July that says this and then give us another 6 weeks on the backside? It doesn't seem long to you, but 6 weeks of continued prison seems a long time for me. As far as EO 2.0 or 2.1, there seems to be a great deal. The city council has touted that we want to follow the science, we want to follow the medicine, and those things. And I have no issue with that. I understand that we want to do what we believe to be best. However, this separation of vaccination and unvaccination, this seems to be a political ploy to pacify those that have been vaccinated, which is about 60% of our adult population now. And not doing so with any real medical benefit. They can still spread the disease, they can still contract the disease, and we're going to remove the quarantine from them. That would seem to be the opposite of what we've done in the past, is we've hedged on safety. Now we're willing to just throw that to the wind and say, you know what, if you'll get vaccinated, because that's what's really going to protect us. This is a vaccine that I am excited to hear that is having wonderful results, and I hope that continues. But at this point, it is still an emergency use vaccine. This is something that has not been thoroughly vetted and tested. Every month, it seems like there's some medication that has gone through FDA trials, gone through years of service, and now we're finding out these have to be pulled because they have some effect. And because people of their own volition choose to hedge against the harm that these vaccinations might one day prove to do, we're saying, well, it just seems it's more political than it is science-based. I thank you for your time. I pray that you'll consider the inconsistency of what is being presented and how it's being implemented. I hope and pray you come to a right decision here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, the next person is Tierra Schroeder.
Hi, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, fabulous. Hello, this is Tierra Schroeder, as you mentioned. Thank you very much for hearing concerns and for keeping our city's safety at the top of your priority list. I am in support of this emergency ordinance, and I just wanted to really applaud you guys for the work that you guys are doing, because this work isn't easy. And I almost want to apologize on, I guess, almost the, just the amount of frustration that comes out of a lot of this and how a lot of it is aimed at you folks. And I just wanted to thank you guys for putting up with all of that. But my thought on it is that in terms of safety, what worked really well last time when we put or when emergency ordinances were put into place was that we've seen that they were super effective, especially as we are about to be going into the fishing season. I think that almost always prevention is the best intervention, and in this case, keeping these kinds of ordinances would be the best option for keeping Dillingham safe. So, again, Leon Chestnut, thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Chair. And the next person, that is all the hands that are raised. Okay, that's all the hands that are raised for the, I'll get my agenda back here, for the public hearing. And I, before we move on to the next one, I got to say thank you, everybody, including Lori. That was probably the smoothest Zoom public hearing we've had, and that was one of the things that Lori and I were stressing about, was how to do this efficiently to give everybody a chance. So we'll move on to citizens' discussion. We'll close that public hearing, move to citizens' discussion. And I have two people that have asked to be included in the citizens' discussion. And I'll call on the first one. Hopefully she's online. That's Megan Armstrong. Okay, so Megan, you're up first.
Hi, Madam Mayor. I'd like to speak on a couple of different topics. First, I'd like to say that I am also in support of Ordinance 2021-02 and EO 2.1. I think a couple of things, because our children can't yet be vaccinated, the chance that our community can reach herd immunity without our children or people under 16 having the opportunity to be vaccinated, herd immunity is not a possibility. Also, the pathogen has not changed. The dangers of this pathogen have not changed. So I think it's important, and I applaud and commend council and the interim city manager for being comprehensive and compliant in EO 2.1 in following CDC recommendations in keeping our community safe. And then the next topic that I'd like to talk about is the issue of road maintenance in our community for the last couple of years. It's no secret that we've all seen a deterioration of services and lack of knowledge by the state that was hiring the last public works director. And I think if you were to put the pencil to the paper and reflecting on that, you'd probably find that the cost to the municipality as a whole was more than just the deterioration of services. When you look at what it costs to repair the damage in having to add gravel to the roads and the non-winterizing of fire hydrants and just the things that you could see that were visible. My question is multi-part. The first being, what's the plan for ensuring qualifications and the hiring of a new director? And the second is, if you look at the cost of the errors that were made in his tenure, have there been any considerations in increases of wages in that department, specifically qualified operators, to ensure longevity and proper qualifications for people in those positions? I think it's become apparent to a lot of us that these are not entry-level positions, and if the municipality is willing to pay for expensive mistakes of unqualified people, there's logic in being willing to pay outright for people properly certified. And thirdly, is there a plan in place if that position isn't filled appropriately shorthanded? Like, is there a plan for potentially subcontracting the services out? At this point, in my neighborhood in particular, we have single lane roads and absolutely no sight lines when pulling out of driveways. The other day, the grader was coming down the single lane road in our subdivision, and I told my daughter, I'm just going to keep going until I meet up with him, and maybe he'll realize the problem. Needless to say, we met on the road, and he did not slow down or back up. It was me who had to back up and into the next drive for him to pass, just like we have to do every time there's something someone coming in the other direction. I have been in the neighborhood for 4 years, and except for the last two, this was not an issue. The berm in my driveway has not been winged down to provide sight lines, so I have to creep out to hopefully see someone who hopefully isn't coming fast enough that we might collide. Our neighborhood is probably one of, if not the greatest, property tax revenue-generating ones in the municipality. If there continues to be a lack in services, we would be better off to keep our taxes and form a neighborhood association and contract out these services. We definitely would have been better served to do that over the last couple of years. It's no secret that many neighborhoods in the municipality are facing the same issues. From downtown roads being like cobblestone because they weren't plowed properly, to single-lane roads, to the mess that the summer season was in destroying the roads that had to have maybe one hauled in to build them up. It's apparent that someone directing these services should probably pass some form of proficiency and vetting requirements, as well as having some oversight and accountability. If you look on the City of Dillingham website map, there's 55 residences in NERCA proper. If you multiply that by an average annual property tax of $3,000, that's $165,000. If you divide that by $35 an hour, you get 4,714 hours. If you divide that by a 40-hour week, you get 117 weeks. That's two full operators working every hour of every day for the year in our neighborhood, and that's just our neighborhood. So I'm not quite sure why our services are lacking other than poor management, and it's time for that to change. It's obvious today, but still, no one is directing these services. The roads were flush and ready, and no one was grading them just yesterday, and I'm certain we're stuck with a single lane till it melts. The dip in front of Sally Smith is vastly approaching chasm status. There is no cone or warning there other than experience in hitting it previously, in which case you're surely now aware of its depth and capacity to do some damage. Christine Tinker posted a photo of a manhole with no cover in the middle of downtown just the other day, and I'm pretty sure it's still uncovered. The downtown issues will hopefully be alleviated with JJC's work over this summer, but an open manhole is definitely a liability, even temporarily. If it's not in the near future that someone competent is put into that position, what is the plan or backup plan, which I think there should always be a contract with a backup in the event of equipment breakdowns and such? Or maybe that the plan B becomes the plan A. Thanks for your time and attention to these issues.
Thank you, Megan. The next person under citizen comment that called in ahead was Caleb Westfall.
Madam Mayor, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just had a couple of questions when I was reading through Ordinance 2021-02, and maybe they could be considered statements, but I guess nonetheless, I just had some confusion, and I'd just like to kind of put that out there. I guess when I'm reading Ordinance Number 2021-02, I have quite a few questions, and let's see. When I look at paragraph 8, I believe the manager or the lawyer, whoever drafts this specifically, when they explain that there's a recent local increase in positive cases of COVID-19, recent local increase in positive COVID-19 cases confirm a continuing need to maintain the EOC and emergency order processes, and it goes to the next whereas. I guess I'm really curious on, I guess, am I not aware, or is the public not aware of an increase in positive cases in the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks? I haven't seen any, but I'm just kind of curious where that comes from. In the next whereas, it is in the best interest in the City of Dillingham to continue to have emergency legislation in place to mitigate the impact of COVID-19. This is kind of a question to the city specifically. What is the best interest of the city in total? My next thing is in the manager's report and his statement on KDLG, he speaks that he's consulted with the medical professionals here, and I'm would assume that's either public health and or the BBHC. I was looking at BBHC's website, and I could only find Kara Ben Dixon as the qualified medical doctor on the team. So I guess I'm curious. I believe she no longer lives nor works here. Who is the manager speaking to get his qualified medical advice from a qualified medical doctor recommending the mandate and or his decisions he referenced in 2.0, the new EO declaration? And lastly, also in Mr. Gregg, the manager's statement, he talked about soliciting public comment and talking to stakeholders, sports fishers, local businesses, community members, and nowhere did it state that he contacted anybody or any manager of a commercial fishing entity, a commercial fishing processor plant, etc. And I believe that's a huge backbone of this community, and possibly the backbone of the community. So I'm curious on why there was no expressed interest in understanding the community and soliciting information or ideas or impacts from those stakeholders. Thank you, Madam Mayor, Mr. Manager, council members, and thank you, people at home, for listening. If you have any further questions, feel free to reach out to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Caleb. So that was the two people that called in ahead of time. Appreciate that you did that. So this is the citizens' discussion, the first on the agenda. It's for citizens to address items that are on the agenda. And it is limited to 3 minutes in duration, and I appreciate everyone doing that. And we can call on people. If anybody else has their hand up, we'll give you time to speak. And I don't see any other hands up. Okay. Okay, so don't see any other hands up, so I'm going to... Oh, you said people are raising their hand? Okay. Okay, Jack Saville.
So thank you again for hearing me. A couple of things. First thing I want to point out, it's real easy to ignore the human element or take the human element for granted when you get a six-figure salary or better. And I'll just leave that at that. I'm talking about the when I talked about the human element, I'm talking about the young lady or young man that serves you your food at the diner or helps you at the grocery store. Secondly, I want to talk about the homelessness issue, and I want to ask the city council and you, Madam Mayor, why a committee has not been formed yet. The city council and all the administration has known that this is an issue, but yet a committee has not been formed. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. So the next person with a hand up is, is who? Courtney Carty. Courtney, you're up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council, for the opportunity to provide citizens comment tonight at the council meeting. Originally, I was not prepared to provide testimony this evening. I do have a hard time. Oh, I guess for the record, my name is Courtney Carty. I'm representing myself tonight and my family. I do have a hard time separating my public leadership position as my role as the tribal administrator from myself as one citizen of Dillingham. But tonight, I feel that it's important to speak as a citizen, and am doing so only representing myself and my family. First, I would like to say that I'm perhaps struggling with the extension of the ordinance and the new emergency ordinance. There are parts of it that I feel are major progress, and then there are room, I think in everything we do, there's always room for improvement. One thing I would like maybe the council to consider tonight is there is an exemption for children under 10 requiring to be tested before arriving to Dillingham. And when the state had the, I guess it was a public health emergency disaster declaration open and valid, children traveling for custodial purposes had an exemption from any requirement of quarantine. Our family chose to quarantine when my son had to travel for custody because it's the right thing to do. We take this very seriously. However, that exemption going away and the shift in 3 days testing out of quarantine ended, so did Isaiah's travel to see his father, and that has impacted him greatly. So I guess maybe tonight I would perhaps encourage the council to consider an amendment to considering children traveling for custodial purposes to have to test to come back, test negative, but don't make them quarantine so they're not having to choose between missing out on their education or missing out on their family relationships. Both are very important, and for us, we're having a very, very difficult time in our family finding balance. That's pretty much all I want to say about the order and the ordinance. I know there are a lot of polarized opinions and people have the right to have their own. I guess maybe I would say a little bit more just that I think it's more about not necessarily our individual rights, but rules. We as Americans all have the right to vote. But if we don't follow the rules and register to vote, in some places provide ID, or if we're a felon, we don't get to vote. We all have the right to drive, but if we don't follow the rules and get our driver's license and not get a DUI, we don't get to drive or pay child support. You get your driver's license garnished if you're too far behind on child support. So I don't think that perspective has been represented so far. Then I guess I just want to end on the road situation that Megan spoke so eloquently about earlier. We own property here on Wood River Road that is state maintained, and not once have I not been able to make it out of my driveway this year. We also own property on Lake Road that is city maintained. And although our road, High Bush Drive, does get city maintenance once in a while, or, you know, when the big snows come, it is one lane. But we have a neighbor there, the Muirs, who do live on a public road that is rarely ever maintained. Yes, they come and go into Dillingham as they choose, but their road is a public road and should be maintained regularly. If there was a fire on that property today, their house would be a total loss and the city would be at a huge liability for their failure to maintain that road. And so I want to encourage the city. I know you guys are doing what best you can with what little you have, but the entire city wage scale needs to be reevaluated and updated to have competitive wage. Yes, I was a city employee before and there are competitive benefits, but the wage scale needs to be reevaluated so that we can hire qualified employees and retain them as well in all positions, not just the higher level management position. This concludes my testimony this evening. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you, Courtney. So the next person, and I would just urge you again, keep the testimony within 3 minutes. And also this citizens discussion is to address agenda items, technically, and I'm not going to break in on somebody while they're speaking, but it's to address items that the council will be acting on later. So is there the next person wants to speak? And this is John Klaus. We just brought you into the room, John.
Madam Mayor, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I appreciate your work and the council's work and the city manager's work. I can't imagine what an incredible difficult position you're in and considering all of the testimony and working with people around the community. But I just wanted to speak for myself. Again, John Klaus, I'm speaking for myself in regards to the ordinance and emergency order 2.1. The ordinance under consideration is being extended by 6 months, and to me that doesn't really feel like there's an end in sight. I would consider that if there is a need to extend this ordinance, that it maybe be extended in a different timeline. To do this for another 6 months, this seems pretty long, at least for me. On to the emergency order. Again, speaking just for me and maybe some of my family members who are minors, we've had children in our care that have had to do medical out of their control, and coming back and doing the quarantines, missing school. I have one child that's missed close to 3 months since last May in quarantine, and she is asking, and we extend medical deadlines, and it's really starting to affect her mental health in regards to being isolated and missing school. We also have another child who's living with us due to extenuating circumstances, who's having to make some very difficult decisions on whether she can visit, visit family, and having to come back in quarantine and potentially miss school, or missing out on those relationships with family so that she can maintain, attending school. She's taking some pretty tough classes and also not having to be in quarantine. And just, I have seen the effects of quarantines on the mental health of my family. And there have been some pretty major struggles this year. And I'm just asking that you take that into consideration as you move forward. And I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, John. And the next person, do we have? Is that 843? So the next person is calling from a telephone, 843-3559?
Yes, Madam Mayor, can you hear me?
Yeah, we sure can.
Hi, Madam Mayor and council members and people who are listening. My name is Mariah Smith, and I am representing myself and maybe a silent amount of people who would prefer not to speak tonight. I have lived in Dillingham for 7 years, and as a citizen who called Dillingham home, I would like to say that I am not in support of Ordinance Number 2021-02, which authorizes the city manager to make and enforce regulations to stop the spread of COVID-19. I ask that our city council makes the decisions that gravely impacts our town and our people, because we elected you to do this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So the next person, and just a reminder, this is citizens discussion for items that are on the agenda, and it's limited to 3 minutes. And the next person is Alana Hurley. And Alana, you're in the room.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Okay, thanks. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just wanted to say thank you to the council for giving us the opportunity to speak tonight. I'm calling all in support of 2021-02. I think there's been a lot of commendable work done by the city over the past year, and with the upcoming fishing season, keeping this emergency ordinance in place. So the council can continue to do what's needed to be done to protect the community moving forward is pretty critical. I also think that the CDC recommendations are crystal clear
about where we're at, excuse me, in this amidst the pandemic. And so I just really commend the city for heeding those recommendations and medical expert medical advice. In regards to emergency order 2.1, I just, you know, I really think it really strikes a fair balance in opening up while also retaining some of the safety measures that are necessary moving forward. With that, I just want to say that I really hear the people that are talking about exceptions for kids who are facing missing school or custodial arrangement visits, things like that, and I support those types of exceptions being made. Lastly, I'll just say that I really support the effort around addressing homelessness in Dillingham, and I really hope the City Council prioritizes creating that committee, and I hope that happens very quickly. And with that, I just want to say thanks again, and I'm just really thankful for everything that the city's done, and I know that you guys are taking phone calls and hearing from all different types of people throughout the community daily, so I'm just really appreciative of the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Lana. So do we have another hand up? Okay. Cameron Poindexter.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, for the another opportunity to speak about Ordinance 2021-02. Chug Young's board, my name is Cameron Poindexter. I'm the president and CEO of Chug Young Limited. Chug Young's board has studied the city's emergency declaration and follow-on ordinances. The resultant severe negative impact to its shareholders, its employees, its customers, and surrounding support businesses comprised of people. These are real people living in Dillingham, people that wish to be able to make a living, however, have been stripped of the opportunity to do so by the impact of ordinances written by and enforced by the city. Loss of business triggered by the city's rush to restrict and sustain the restriction of movement of people has had a lasting and ongoing consequences on the lives of real people. Chug Young Limited has suffered a 58% loss of revenue in its local businesses and a 67% loss in its land use permit income, leading to a cut of 40% of the labor hours we were able to offer people over the last 12 months when compared to the prior year. The loss of work has caused innumerable damages to people's lives and our lived experiences. The people that are employed by us have lost their jobs or most of their income and the ability to take care of their family, have incurred new mental health issues, have been fined by the city of Dillingham, have delayed necessary and serious health screening, have an inferior quality of life when compared to pre-pandemic conditions. We consider these consequences of the city's emergency declaration and subsequent ordinances avoidable going forward, given positive developments to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. Elected city officials must recognize the damage inflicted on its citizens in the name of protection and ask the question, is this ongoing enforcement of ordinances that is still causing immeasurable harm to our people worth it any longer? To help answer this, the city must seriously reevaluate the emergency declaration itself in relation to COVID-19. Chug Young Limited suggests a well-rounded reevaluation to include 1, access for citizens to a vaccine currently available and accessible to all high-risk individuals. 2, 60% plus of Dillingham City citizens 20 years and older have been vaccinated with vaccines proven to be efficacious in prevention of serious illness. 3, therapeutics available in the case of contraction of disease, many proven safe and available. 4, 99.95% survival of those who contract COVID-19 pre-vaccine. Most everyone survives. 5, public awareness of COVID-19 and safety precautions. 6, real accounts of damage caused to people other than COVID, including mental health issues, physical health declines, job losses, economic opportunity loss, hunger, homelessness, length of time for economic recovery to happen,
loss of quality education, missed health screening, loss of face-to-face time with family and friends, etc. Number 7, measures taken in other like-sized cities in Alaska. No business closures, no travel mandates, no, and at no great risk to people living there. Number 8, comparisons of case and death rates from governments that did not mandate measures against COVID to most restrictive. A review of safe operating practices implemented by responsible businesses intended to be continued until the threat of COVID subsides. The overall remaining risk to the community and its people from COVID, considering vaccines that work to prevent serious illness and death, protective behaviors individuals and businesses practice, and therapeutics against the long-term harm to people by enacting and enforcing restrictions on the movement of people. Given Chugyang Limited's board resolution and our understanding and experience with COVID-19, we believe we can reasonably expect the city of Dillingham to reach the same conclusion we did. For the sake of all people in Dillingham, we implore the city to reevaluate its emergency declaration deeply and thoroughly and replace mandates with strong health safety recommendations for the public and business. Please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron. The next person is, Casey DeShock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For the record, this is Casey DeShock speaking on behalf of myself, and I'm just going to cover up what I couldn't fit into the 3 minutes earlier, and I want to address what the council will be thinking about tonight when you're making the decision. You've heard from many people opposed to the emergency ordinance, and many of those people that spoke against voting for this have listed the real-life impacts, the impacts to their children, the impacts to their mental health, their economic well-being. Those that have spoken in favor of extending this emergency ordinance have spoken about the rules. They've spoken about their own protection, and I think that this is valid that they're concerned about their protection, but I want to address the rules. We're now 25%. We've spent 25% as much time on this as we did World War II. Does anybody really think that if tomorrow the council were to say there are no rules in Dillingham whatsoever, that everybody would take their masks off and have a dance party? It's absolutely false. Does anybody believe that the vaccines that we have taken, we have some form of immunity? You can look at a most recent study has 4,000 nurses. Some were given the vaccine, some not, in a healthcare setting. 196 cases of those that were unvaccinated, 4% of the cases, or 4 cases for those that were vaccinated. The risks going forward are extremely, extremely low. And there is no reason that somebody needs to be told that they want to wear a mask. If you are nervous, then I think it's well within your right to continue to wear a mask. If you are a business owner and you prefer for your customers to wear a mask, I think it's well within your right. If you would prefer the vaccine, we have 100 years of history of the world changing because of us developing vaccines, and those vaccines are effective. So if we extend this 6 months, when we get to the end of the 6 months, if the claim is that the vaccines might have a cause, variants may affect this vaccine, or there may be some people that didn't get it and they'll show up. Someday down the line, when we finally remove all of these restrictions, the same situation as today will exist then, because we're not going to eradicate COVID-19. It's moved into endemic rather than pandemic. And so now we are getting, at this point, no benefit, because at some point we're all going to have to face this, life with COVID-19 or COVID-21 or COVID-23. We will all face this. Now the only thing that we are gaining, or the only thing that is accruing, is the cost. The cost to the children, the cost of the competition in sports, the cost to the businesses. the cost of the members that are moving out of this community in order to be able to travel, to see family, to live a normal life. We are only accruing costs. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, that's the last hand that we have up on our... Okay, we have one more. Liz Clark. And Liz, you're in the room.
Hi, Madam Mayor. Can you hear me clearly or is it echoing?
No, it sounds pretty clear.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm on Bluetooth, so it's the first time I've used it.
Oh.
I was going to call in this final time. Thank you for giving me the final opportunity. I was going to call in with some more data, but I think some other people just did a really great job of doing that. So instead, if it's all right, I'd like to read something that I wrote back in March. Before I begin, there's been a lot of talk around town lately that the people who are in opposition of the emergency ordinances are the ones who are creating division. And I don't see it that way. I see it as these are our people who are standing up for freedom. But here's what I wrote. And I want to preface this with, I am no Dr. Seuss, but I gave it a go. Some here are red, and some here are blue. The idea here is not about me versus you. The idea here is quite simple, you see. The idea here is that we all should be free. Free to choose whether we cover our mouths. Free to live in the north or the south. And regardless of that north-south direction, we should be free to visit without declaring intention. Free to choose a poke in the arm or to not, and not take away freedoms based on the shot. And above everything else, have the freedoms to say that something's not right and not right, not okay. If you're smart or you're strong or you're differently abled, everyone here has a seat at the table. So stand here today, so tall and so proud. Stand with a voice that's quiet or loud. Say, I stand with this view, the growing percent of people like me who do not consent. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. So that's the last hand now. We've got John again. I'd actually like to keep it to each person testifies once during a section. But if since this is so important, we'll call on John Klaus again and let him speak to us again. John, you're in the room.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. 30 seconds. I wasn't as prepared as I'd hoped to be, and I just wanted to make one more comment about EO 2.1. John Klaus speaking for myself, just to reiterate that we do have, I have members in my house who aren't eligible for the vaccine. And we've talked about that in our house, and it's pretty disappointing. And I think it's something to really consider that there is a group of people who aren't eligible for the vaccine and don't have the opportunity to have what people who are vaccinated have through EO 2.1. And that would be also for those who choose not to get the vaccine, which is their choice and their right. And I would consider, ask that you consider that as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay, so that's the end of the citizens' discussion. We'll draw that to a close, and I apologize, everybody. I know it's really late, but we're going to have to take about a three-minute break. Some of us we've been sitting here since 6:30, so a five-minute break, and we'll come right back and convene the meeting. I maybe need to stand up. Okay, we got him back. Okay, Kurt is back. So we'll meet back to order, Council, and we're going to move on to ordinances and resolutions. And the next item before you is adoption, Ordinance 2021-02, an ordinance of the Dillingham City Council extending the expiration date of Ordinance 2020-22S. Is there a motion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I move to adopt Ordinance 2021-02.
Okay. Chris Napoli moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I got a Kurt Armstrong second. Chris Napoli moved. Kurt Armstrong seconded adoption of the ordinance. Discussion.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Chris.
Maybe just to clear some of the air, the extension of this ordinance gives the city manager the ability to continue to ease up things as the rate of COVID continues to decrease. And if we have a spike during the fishing season, he can act accordingly. So it gives him a little bit of ability where we meet monthly. He can act very quickly. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chris. Council, further discussion?
Mayor, this is Axel.
Axel, go ahead.
No, let him go ahead. I'll wait.
Who was the other? Was that Bill?
Yeah.
Bill, go ahead.
I share some of the concerns of some of the people who called in today with regards to having classes of people having different rights based on membership of that class. I would like to know through our council what the opinion is with regards to that. I also have sort of objections to that on philosophical grounds, and I'm not entirely sure how we would go forward in terms of making any amendments to the manager's actions while also keeping in force the emergency order. So I definitely think that we need to maintain the mask mandate and those sort of things. I agree with Councilman Napoli that the real need for this is that it allows us to be flexible with regards to what happens. I think my perception is the intent is that we keep loosening things up, but I would like the council to take under consideration the idea of allowing or removing the quarantine for everyone rather than just for people who are vaccinated. The other thing that I wanted to point out as well is I've been contacted by a number of people who have medical conditions that preclude them from having the vaccine. And I also take very much to heart the testimony of Mr. Klaus this evening about the impacts this has had on his family and on other families in the community. I make the suggestion knowing that if we approve the extension, that a change in conditions would still allow the city manager to put the quarantine back into place. But I also think that we really do need at this point some metrics in terms of when restrictions or relaxations of policies are put into place. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So one of the reasons we invited Brooks to attend tonight or ask him to attend was anticipating a couple of questions. And one of them was that about whether there's any legality to creating those two separate groups of requirements. And so maybe Brooks, if you'd be willing to just respond to that, the legality of the vaccinated versus non-vaccinated groups.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Uh,
And I guess I'll just check first to make sure everyone can hear me okay.
Yeah, you're coming through good.
Great. So whenever an ordinance or a action of a governmental official distinguishes between two classes of people, the fundamental legal test is whether there's a rational basis for treating the two different classes of people differently. The rigor with which that test is imposed can depend on what types of classifications are being made, and there are some that are very highly suspect, you know, marital status, whether you're a man or a woman, what race you are, you know, those types of things, and those distinctions very frequently are illegal in this day and age. This particular one does not reach that level. I mean, it's the two classes it divides people into are folks that have had a vaccine and folks that have not. And so the underlying legal question is, you know, is there a rational and reasonable basis to subject the two different classes to different requirements? So that's the legal test. I don't pretend to be a medical professional, but the you know, most likely rationale is that one group, people that have been vaccinated, poses a smaller risk, public health risk to the community of Dillingham than the people that have not been vaccinated. So if one assumes that that is true, I believe it would justify different treatment because it's a rational distinction, and it's tied to a you know, logical goal, which is public health. So that's kind of the legal test. That does not answer the sort of philosophical, moral type issues that were raised by those that were giving public input, but that is the legal test.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Brooks. Yeah, Bill.
I just wanted to mention that I believe that a number of people who testified tonight brought up the point that even though people are vaccinated, it does not preclude them from being vectors for infection. And so I would question whether whether that would meet the test that Mr. Chandler has just outlined for us. So I would like to see us move forward in terms of extending the expiration date, but I'm not sure parliamentarily how one would propose an amendment to the regulations promulgated by the city manager and whether that would have any permanent effect given that the extension of the ordinance would allow him to reinstate those things.
I can speak to that, Madam Mayor, if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead, Brooks.
Section 3E of the ordinance that's before you allows the city council to, the words are provide direction to the city manager for rescinding or amendment of any order that the manager has been before. So there certainly is a procedure by which both the ordinance could be adopted, and then the council could also, if a majority wanted to, direct the city manager to amend the order that was recently issued.
So Brooks, I guess a question about that. Our Lori and I were quietly talking, and our understanding is we would need to have those orders as an agenda item so that, you know, there was public notice and, you know, anyway, so that it provided adequate public notice. So I was going to suggest to the council if they want to take up the orders that we schedule a meeting and have the orders as an item they address? Because technically they're not on the agenda tonight. Does that seem like a reasonable, a process since we're, maximum public notice and all that?
Yes, that would be reasonable, and it also reminds me of the types of processes that we all participated in about a year ago. I mean, quite a few multiple meeting types of things where different versions of rules were considered.
Yeah.
Madam Mayor, I have a parliamentary question.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Is the ordinance before us being voted on as an emergency ordinance, or is this a regular ordinance? In other words, do we have to have a unanimous vote with regards to this, or is this a regular vote?
It's a regular vote. If you'll remember, I think I described that when we introduced it, and so it's just a regular ordinance. So it's just a the majority, 4 votes to pass this ordinance.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Mayor?
Is there, Axel?
I have 3 things. First one, I want to, if I could ask Brooks a question to bring up what Cameron Poindexter said about the legality of this in his speech about the Alaska not having emergency order and that in place, and is it a simple yes or no to the answer? I mean, is it legal what we're doing, or is it not legal because the state of Alaska doesn't have that emergency order? And then I have 2 more things after that.
It is legal. The code section that was being referenced pertains to the city manager acting without specific pre-authorization from the city council and limits the city manager's authority to do that. But this particular ordinance is not the city manager doing anything. This is the city council doing something. And the authority of the city council is much more extensive under state law, and city councils have the legal authority to declare local emergencies and to empower the city manager to adopt rules as a result.
Okay, thank you. And the next thing that I would like to ask is, according to what we do when we're inside the body of this, we can strongly recommend, so maybe take a straw poll on this or something, but we can recommend to the manager what we want instead of coming up with another meeting. We don't have to have another meeting. We can just recommend to the city manager what we want. Is that correct?
I think that would be difficult for the city manager because it's not really clear direction, Axel. It's
But I know it's not clear direction, but if we recommend to the city to the city manager what we want it to say in there, I mean, there were some very valid points about the kids in quarantine and such by Klaus, Courtney, and Hurley. I mean, there's some very valid points there that I think need to be looked at and addressed. So that's just something that I'm looking at that I think we should address. And I wonder if we can do that on a straw poll or ask the other council if there's support towards it or if they recommend it or not now instead of having another meeting.
So would the appropriate thing be to, because right now the ordinance is what's in front of you, so the appropriate thing may be under council discussion, you could make a motion to direct the manager to, you want him to look.
You're right. That sounds right. And the next thing I would like to do talking with the superintendent, Jason Johnson, and a few other of the school board members there about maybe make an amendment here to August 6th instead of September, 4th or 5th, just so we can give a little more direction of what we're doing, and they have an idea of what we're doing. And that way it gives them a few more weeks instead of waiting until the September meeting to act on this. So I'd like to make an amendment to that, to this, that it be August 6th instead of September.
And the reason for that would be, Axel, your that
to help the school align with what they're going to do and what we're going to do, so we can come back and look at this sooner instead of later. It's the first month after fishing. Most of the fishermen are gone by the 15th to the 25th of July. Same thing with the Camry workers. We have that influx of people that are gone, and I think it'd be a more appropriate time to look at it in August to help with the school and everything that's going on with people coming and going for the school year, to have a more direct of where we're at, if we're going to lack some more stuff, if we're going to extend the order. And I would like to see it on August 6th instead of in September. And I'd like to make a motion for that.
Madam Mayor, I would second that motion.
So you're making a motion to amend the ordinance to change the effective date to August 6th?
Yeah, and the reason that is, that's the day after our first council meeting in August.
So Axel Buholm moves, Bill Rodewalt seconds to amend the ordinance to change the effective date to August 6, 2021. So that's the motion. Is there discussion on that amendment?
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Greg. Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
If it's appropriate, I'd like to hear from the city manager on his thought process on that versus the current date. I assume he had a reason why he chose the current date. Or the whoever.
Well, that would, and I maybe I'll not put the heat on Greg Brelsford. Lori and I looked at the calendar and tried to estimate the council meetings, and the September council meeting is the 7th. It's the 2nd. So we tried to give the council, we tried to just get a buffer so that we didn't find ourselves having trouble getting quorums, because August is hunting season, fall fishing, everything else. So that was really the reason we chose September, was to try to avoid some of the tension we caused last year by holding meetings when people wanted to be doing other things. We looked at it as the emergency orders can change at any point. And in fact, the emergency orders could be revised to require nothing, even if this ordinances in place, the orders can, you know, be revised constantly. So anyway, that was how come we chose September. We were trying to avoid those busy times.
Madam Mayor.
Yes. Is that Andy? Go ahead.
Yeah. I certainly can see Axel's rationalization for that, and I would support that. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Further discussion?
Madam Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I hear us getting a little off track on a couple of things here, but I'm not going to support the amendment. I think that the date that was in the date that's printed in the ordinance was one that was come up with just as much thought. So, and your point to it being a couple days after a regular meeting is is, I guess, the same, and it's right around the start of school, though, which is and that it the rules change not by this ordinance, but they change by the EO process anyway, which it seems that people still have a little misconception that the city manager is the only person that does that, and it's a team of folks from the health profession and the school, and so it's sort of done by committee, and it's a process, and I guess I'm not quite willing to upset the process and go back to what we had before, which is a good possibility if we start twinking and flexing our muscle a little too much. So I think the ordinance is fine as it stands. I'm in support of the main ordinance, which is different from the rules that are in place or at the moment or will be in a couple of days. So I think we can move on.
Okay, thank you, sir. Council, further discussion? Andy, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to be fickle, I guess. And I think Kurt just talked me out of supporting Axel there. So I on further thought, I will not be supporting the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Council, further discussion? Okay. I for myself, Council, I would urge you to stay with the September date. I understand, and I actually am happy Axel's thinking about the school and working with them. I believe we can do that with the emergency orders rather than the ordinance. And I do fear that we find ourselves in August scrambling to get, meetings together because people are, doing what we do in Alaska. So September really seemed like a good date to get us through the summer and let us sort of settle down and tend to business in the fall. So at any rate, if there's no further discussion, I'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Ray?
No.
Kurt?
No.
Chris?
No.
Bill?
No.
Axel?
Yes.
Andy?
No.
Thank you, Council. The amendment, the motion for the amendment fails. So before you is the original ordinance, Ordinance 2021-02. Is there further discussion? No further discussion. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Kurt?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. The ordinance has been adopted. Moving on to the next item. Introduction of Ordinance 2020-103, an ordinance of the Dillingham City Council amending Section 8.16.010 and Section 8.16.020 to reflect E911 responsibilities. Is there a motion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I move to adopt Ordinance 2021-03.
Second the motion. Andy here.
Okay. Chris Napoli moves. Andy Anderson seconds to introduce Ordinance 2021-03. Any discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerks to call the roll, please.
Chris?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Axel?
Hang on, I'm having an apple, Mom. Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Thank you, Council. That motion carries. That ordinance has been introduced. Moving to the next item, introduction, ordinance 2021-04, an ordinance of the Dillingham City Council amending chapter 8.18 and repealing 8.30.020 to provide a uniform process for reviewing marijuana license applications. Is there a motion?
Madam Mayor? You know, I move to introduce ordinance 2021-04.
Thank you. Andy moves. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And Bill Rodewalt seconds. Discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerks call the roll on introduction of ordinance 2021-04.
Axel?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. That ordinance has been introduced. Moving to introduction of ordinance 2021-05, an ordinance of the Dillingham City Council amending the budget by adopting budget amendment number 1 and appropriating funds for the fiscal year 2021 City of Dillingham budget. Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Rodewalt moves. Is there a second?
Second.
And Kurt Armstrong seconds. Any discussion?
This is up for introduction. Point of order, I'm sorry. Is this up for introduction, right?
It is. Did I say adoption?
That's okay.
Oh. So this is, and I've got Bill Rodewalt moved, Kurt Armstrong seconded introduction of ordinance 2021-05. Any discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Chris?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. That resolution has been introduced. And I just as a note, Axel, your internet must be wavering. You were sounding a little faint there for a minute. The next item, adoption of resolution 2021-06, a resolution of the Dillingham City Council establishing the level of funding for the Dillingham City School District for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2022. Is there a motion?
Madam Mayor, I move to adopt resolution 2021-06.
Thank you, Andy. I have Andy's motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
And Chris Napoli seconds. Thank you, Council. Discussion, and actually, Andy, did you want to say anything about this before I open it for discussion since it's been through finance?
No, not really. It's pretty straightforward in Anita's report there. Thank you.
Okay, Council, discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerk to call a roll on adoption of resolution 2021-06.
Axel.
Axel, can
you hear? Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Did he just vote for three people or did he just vote for himself? I'm a yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. That resolution is adopted. Moving to adoption of resolution 2021-07, a resolution of the Dillingham City Council approving a long-term encroachment for Nooshigat Cooperative across Seward Street for future supplemental heat, power, and communication work. Is there a motion?
Yes, this is Greg Marksmore.
Greg,
motion.
I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead.
I make a motion to adopt.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Greg Marksmiller moves. Bill Rodewalt seconds. adoption of Resolution 2021-07. Is there a discussion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir. Chris?
I just want transparency. I serve on the Inushkek board and have allocated money, but I don't realize any financial gain from it.
Okay. Thank you, Chris, for that clarification. Council, any further discussion? No further discussion. I'll ask clerks to call the roll on adoption of Resolution 2021-07.
Sandy?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. That resolution has been adopted, 2021-07. Moving to unfinished business, the city manager recruitment update. Tim provided a written report in the packet, and so I won't elaborate on that anymore. The next item, citizen committee appointments. I have one appointment to recommend. I recommend to the council Shelley Lutz be appointed to the library advisory board.
Move to concur with your recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Chris.
Second the motion.
Chris Napoli moves. Andy Anderson seconds. Any discussion?
I just wanted to say she's a really great teacher, and so I'm really glad that she wanted to be on the board.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Good reference. Okay, any further discussion? No further discussion. I'll ask clerks to call the roll, please.
Greg?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. That motion carries, and that appointment has been made. Moving to new business, approve Action Memorandum 2021-04, authorize the city manager to collaborate with Nooshigat Cooperative for a community cleanup May 14 to 16. Is there a motion?
So move, Andy.
Second.
Andy Anderson moves. Chris Napoli seconded. And Greg Brelsford, ordinarily I would ask you if you want to say anything. I don't know if you have anything to add to this or not. I think this came from the Friends of the Landfill, didn't it?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I believe that's true. I do not have anything to add right now.
Okay. All right, council discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerks to call the roll.
Bill?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Thank you, council. Motion carries. That action memorandum is adopted. Moving to adoption of Action Memorandum 2021-05, authorize the city to waive 2021 property tax force file fee for assessment returns filed with an appeal by April 1, 2021. Is there a motion?
Move to adopt, Andy here.
Andy Anderson moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And Bill Rodewalt seconds. And Greg, anything, or Greg Brelsford, anything you want to add to this, or should I call on Anita or Finance Committee? Or?
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing to add, so maybe someone else would have some valuable input.
Okay. All right. Anita, I don't want to call on you unless you want to speak, because I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you want to add anything, we're happy to hear from you.
That's fine. Just make sure this is about the force file fees. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What we're doing is we're just trying to give an opportunity to help our community. We file the assessment returns and give them an opportunity to appeal, since the force file fees can get high if this is like their third year, and reduce their force file fee to a late fee.
All righty. Thank you, Anita. Council discussion?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Greg.
This impacts me personally, so I'm going to declare a conflict of interest, and I'll refrain from voting and discussion.
Thank you, Greg. I concur and that if this has a financial impact, you should not vote. You should abstain from voting. So thank you for declaring that. Council, further discussion? No further discussion. We'll ask clerk to call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Axel?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. Motion carries. That action memorandum has been adopted. So we made it through the business part of the meeting. That was pretty quick. So we're now at the last citizens discussion, and this is open to any citizen to address the council. It is still limited to 3 minutes in duration, but it's another opportunity to address the council. So Lori is going to see if there's any hands up. Okay, I have Caleb Westphal. Caleb, you're on. Caleb?
Can you hear me, madam?
Yeah, we can now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just had a couple, a first question and then a couple points. I just had the question of if any of my previous questions could possibly be answered, whether it be in this or through email. And secondly, I'm really heartfelt about the passing, the continuing to the ordinance 2021-02. I feel it's an insult to anybody who's in service of our community, whether it's the police force, whether it's the health field, whether it is EMS or firefighters. We are asked to dodge bullets, literal disease, possible death, fire, and collapsing vehicles, houses, et cetera, explosions to service our community. And yet, we're not given the, I guess we're not given the choice anymore to be an equal citizen. And that's really heartfelt, you know. My family comes from a long source of military service, and that's a kind of a slap in the face for anybody in the military or just public service in general. but I guess I'm just kind of curious if I could get any of those questions asked about who is acting at the hospital with a medical degree, a doctor recommending any of this to Mr. Busford, the manager, as he decided. And what are the new cases that I read BBHD's website. There's no new PSA to everybody, so I would think if there was new cases, they would have said it. And, I mean, maybe they're hiding information, but I don't think they are. So I guess I really just want to answer to my questions. Thank you very much, and thank you for taking the time for all of us to comment, listen, Madam Mayor, Manager, Council members, those at home. And I'm available to contact. Thank you.
Thank you, Caleb. The next person to speak. (843) And we can't tell. You'll have to introduce yourself when you're in the room. And you are in the room now.
Hi, my name is Zoe Vidkiss. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, could you say your name again, though? I couldn't quite catch it.
Yeah, Zoe Vidkiss.
Okay.
I just want to thank you guys for giving the public space to voice our concerns and hear what others have to say. I also want to thank you for keeping our citizens who are experiencing homelessness on your priority list. I know with the ongoing COVID crisis, some topics can get lost in the mix. And I'm speaking today in the hopes of keeping our vulnerable citizens on the top of the list. I'm in a part of a group that's trying to find ways to support our community members experiencing homelessness. And our group has some short and long-term goals that we need some help achieving. These goals include obtaining a heated shelter by the start of next winter so our citizens don't freeze. And there are some grants available that only larger entities can apply for. So we really need some help from the city and other larger organizations around town to accomplish our goals. And a city committee would really help organize and mobilize our efforts. Again, I really appreciate everything you guys do for the city, and we'd really love to have some support in our endeavors. We've already lost one community member due to exposure, and with some action, we really hope to prevent any further loss of life. Thank you again for the opportunity to share and leave a link.
Thank you. The next person is John Hiano.
Can you hear me, Madam Mayor?
Yeah, we can.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and the council members. I was here the last time we were doing this, talking about we got to start looking at our wages and stuff up there, like up at the seniors. And I'm good where I'm at. I'm the band driver, and I'm good where I'm at. But speaking for the cook up there, it's so hard to find a cook. Paying really low wages up there and only working 6 hours a day. I think we need to bring that wage up higher. People at the cooks at the hospital, BDNA Head Start, the diner, I think their starting pay is like $20 an hour, and I think that's where we should start the cook's wage at the senior center, so we could get some cooks up there. You know, we're really working Ida real hard up there right now. And, you know, she's doing the cooking, and this past week, I was gone, and so she was cooking and driving. But I think it's really important that we need to look at that and get the cooking assistant up there, too, to help out. I think that's all I have right now, Madam Mayor, and I'll say good evening.
Thank you, John. So the next person is Tierra Schroeder.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Oh, good. Again, thank you guys for holding this space for all of us. I super appreciate you guys staying late, especially we're getting pretty late into the evening now. But as you all know, I've been speaking up at the last few city council meetings to try to bring some attention to finding ways to alleviate homelessness and housing instability in Dillingham. Many citizens have voiced concerns about people experiencing homelessness, being exposed to the elements and other safety issues. You guys have actually heard quite a few folks speak up today, which I am super excited to hear, and I wanted to thank those folks too for speaking up earlier. But to give a little update, between now and the last time I spoke, we've had a couple of meetings, like Zoe had said, where we talked about what we would like to see moving forward. And right now we are coming together as concerned citizens, but we would like to see the City Council make moves to contribute and make this issue a true priority. I believe that once we have a committee going, we can get other people and organizations involved in a way that is more efficient and goal-driven. So please consider developing a committee for this so we can make progress towards both the short and long-term solutions before next winter hits, ideally, so we can avoid more potential harm or loss of life. And I just wanted to say, too, for anyone listening who is interested in helping out with this endeavor, you can shoot me a text. My number is 843-1112, or you can call me. You know, it's 843-1112. Anyways, Brianna, thank you guys very much for listening and for the work that you do.
Thank you. That's it. All right, that's all the hands that are up. So we'll move from citizens' discussion to council comments. And I'll start with, let's see, I'm looking at the screen. How about I'll start with Kurt, because you're the one that's the farthest away.
I don't have anything this evening. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Axel.
Yes, ma'am. I got two things. Like I was asking about giving some direction on the kids in the quarantine. So maybe I could ask, or we could talk with Greg and see what is in his new 2.1. Is that addressed in there or not?
I didn't see Greg's mic go off, so maybe he didn't understand. Do you? I guess the suggestion, Axel, because it. I know I'm not bullying you. It's almost 10 o'clock, so I'm wondering about maybe adding something to the Monday manager update or.
It's just that if we have if I have a little clarification, maybe I can give him a call tomorrow and talk with him one on one. That's fine.
Okay. I don't mean to discourage you. I was thinking about how to get you.
So the next thing I was talking about, and I talked with one of the other council members about this, and as you know very well, know that I've been a big proponent of giving the school their $1.3 million. But say I've seen the light, and I would like to ask the finance committee, Anita and Andy, yourself, and the city clerk, if we could come up with another $250,000 to help with their budget shortfall next year. I don't know. Do I direct that to them, or I just say something and get write it down and talk about it next time around? How does that work?
Madam Mayor, Andy here. I mean.
Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I think we're aware of that. Anita can probably back that up. That request has been made, and that's something that they will be working on here. Thank you.
Okay. Axel, sorry, was that an answer?
Sorry about that. I'm having a nappy moment here, and I just want to pass along thanks. Thanks, Jerry. Sorry I missed that earlier meeting. I had to work late here. Clearing the roads and all that good stuff. So good job, and I know we got a little more business to attend to, so we will carry on.
Okay. Thank you, Axel. Moving to Chris Napoli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. first and foremost, I want to thank Councilmember Marksmiller. He's done a yeoman's job on getting a good group of people together. I think it was spurred on by Ms. Schroeder. And thank you, Greg. I hope you can provide the council updates, and if there's anything that we can do to help you achieve a grant or anything, I would be interested as a council member. The other thing is, Madam Mayor, I wish that... we could meet with the school board to understand their needs and at a bare minimum, at least get the facility committee together, because typically when people have trouble with their budgets, the first thing that goes is maintenance. And I'd like to understand what the strategies are this year. And if we need to understand their additional needs, I would be supportive of that. We put a lot of money in the bond on that school. I'd like to continue to see it, the maintenance in upkeep there. And I'd like to get those organizations back together if that's possible. And thank you for your time. That's all I have.
Thank you, Chris. Lori was at least talking to Lori. We were trying to, identify possible dates for a combination meeting and facility committee and port committee and some of the others. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. I think she emailed each council member a calendar for April, May, and June. And what we'll do starting, we may not get it started tomorrow, but we'll start by Monday, trying to contact those committees and get meetings and a school board council meeting scheduled now that we've got other things calendared. I appreciate you bringing that up again. Greg Marksmiller.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First, I'd like to acknowledge the Cuyahoga Tribe and the people for their history of stewardship of the land that Dillingham is part of. I'll make that acknowledgement and the recognition of the place that we are and the history and the culture that we're part of. Having said that, I did want to address some of the issues that were brought up. First and foremost, I would like to put on our next meeting's agenda, if it's the will of the rest of the council, the wage study that former manager Todd has done, and continue that conversation so we can address some of the issues that multiple people have brought up today about the wages for city employees and staff, or maybe it is better served to be in the Finance and Budget Committee, and it's something that can be picked up by that committee. I have a lot of other feelings and thoughts about, you know, the comments and, you know, the work that we're trying to do and, you know, how we are as a community. And I think it's really important that we support each other and we are civil towards each other and that we treat each other with respect. And I appreciate the respect that's been shown by people. And so with that, I'd also want to say that I really appreciate Tiara's work in helping keep the homeless, this task force, organized, moving, and I do believe we're at a critical point where we do need to look at moving it from where it is now to a more formal situation. So I'd like to look at that in the future. I really appreciate people's input and helping us make better decisions and for taking the time to be here. And with that, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Bill Rodewald.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to reiterate what I had said earlier with regards to trying to go forward without creating different classes of people with regards to quarantine and those sort of things. I do think that that it's potentially problematic. I also feel that I think Caleb Westfall had a good point in terms of, you know, this at some point needs to become more of a negotiation than just a mandate. And I think it would be a good step goodwill to address some of those issues. And I'm especially concerned with those things that were brought up by John Klaus with regards to his family and students having to miss so much time with regards to the quarantines. The reason I voted for the continuation of the emergency order is because I do think that we need to be nimble and have the ability to enact things in terms of protective measures if they're warranted. But I think that the sense that I get from the community and from the communications that I've received is that there is some aspect of getting, you know, that people need to be getting on with their regular lives. And an element of risk in everything that we do. And I think that as opposed to when this whole thing began, we have the infrastructure, we have the processes and those things that would allow us to put restrictions back into place if they were needed. And I would like to see us experiment with being a little bit more open with regards to quarantines. And but I do very definitely feel like we need to maintain the mask mandates and those sort of things. So I just wanted to make that comment. I know that when the EOC gets together, that, you know, it's a discussion and not like the city manager is mandating everything. So I would like people to take those things into consideration as well. I also a couple of times have already mentioned that I would like to see us have a
a city committee on the homeless issue. I think it's really time for us to actually move on that and get some council members other than Mr. Marksmiller working on this. Not to say that anybody else is not working on it. I just think it would be good to have the formalized process in place, and especially for grants and those sorts of things. And I would like to thank all of the people, even the people from Florida who contacted us over the last couple of weeks with comments about our present situation. And I thank everybody. I can honestly say that I took everything that everyone said into consideration when making my decision, and I am confident that that's true of the other council members as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Let's see, Andy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, I concur ditto with Bill's remarks there. He expressed quite a bit of what I was thinking there. I'd also like to thank our interim city manager for coming up with that report on the condition of our road equipment. The information I've been trying to get for quite a while, you were able to provide it in a fairly short time. I appreciate that. Look forward to the discussion on that, that equipment and the status of it for budgeting for FY22. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. So I think I got everybody, Greg, Andy, Bill, and Chris. Okay. So moving to Mayor's comments, I took a lot of notes tonight. I guess I'll start with the one that is the most sensitive to me. I'm disturbed to hear people talk about classes when we're discussing a health emergency. I guess I know that we're in changing times, and we're in times where we're learning as a society to be more sensitive to differences and to celebrate differences in our cultures and our races and our lifestyles. And I hate the thought that we would confuse that with this health emergency. I'm 65. I got a shot first. I guess people might consider me in a class that's different. That didn't occur to me. It occurred to me that we're a community that takes care of each other, and there are groups that are more at risk than others, and the way we take care of them is by creating an environment where we take better care of them. So the fact that non-vaccinated people would be treated a little differently just hasn't occurred to me to be a class issue. It's a group that's at risk, and we take more We use different techniques to take better care of them. And I'm just very, again, disturbed that we would reduce that to some sort of a class, somehow we're not treating people equally. I do really appreciate the council adopting that ordinance tonight. I do think that we can arrange a time for Greg Brelsford to talk more about the emergency emergency orders, and maybe we can arrange to have the medical folks there. I know that we had a lot of consultation going on, and both the state and the health corporation have established teams that provide that consultation to communities. Dillingham isn't the only community that consults with the health corps. So, it probably would be good to have that at a meeting. I did want to tell the council, I know that there have been demands to create a homeless committee for the last month or so. The reason I haven't brought something to the council is because we are just so short of staff right now. With, you know, in manager transitions and with vacancies in positions, police department, every other department is so short of help that I just couldn't imagine how we were going to staff another committee. I think that this citizens committee is doing a great job. They're actually generating more interest in the issue than I think would be generated by us creating a five-person group that meets and and tries to issue policy. They're doing a great job, but I'll try to work with them and see what we can structure that the city might be able to formalize as you requested, knowing, council, that we don't have staff that we can assign to support that committee. If you do that, delegate staff to support that, they're not going to be doing something else. So just to keep it in mind, I do appreciate Tierra bringing it to our attention, and I know she cares. I know she's willing to commit time. The last thing is I've appreciated everybody's interest in the roads. I experienced the same thing everyone else does of trying to get to work and so on. It's going to get better, and we are trying. I know that Greg is working with public works staff, and so we're trying, and it will get better. And then just a piece of business, council. I had a meeting with our lobbyist earlier this week. Greg had actually talked to him previously. He's planning to retire at the end of June, and so we'll probably be coming to you at some point. It's not going to be right away because we know that we've got other things we need to deal with, but coming to you with, a plan for how we'll proceed in the future. Cliff even has suggestions for ways that we can try to retain some lobbying help and not find ourselves in a position where we're spending, too much money because we know that we're a small community, not able to support anything huge like that. He was very complimentary to our legislators and felt like above all, we need to make sure we stay in close touch with our legislators. They're working really hard, and he thinks they represent us well. So last but not least, I would ask the council and any citizens listening to join us in a moment of silence to recognize anyone that we've lost since the last time we came together. And I thank you for that. And with that, council, we're ready to go into an executive session, if you would make the motion. Anybody?
Madam Mayor, Andy here. I move we go into executive session for the purpose of discussion of personnel matters.
Thank you, Andy. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And Bill Rodewalt seconds. Andy Anderson moves, but Rotowalk seconds to go into executive session to discuss a personnel matter. Any discussion? No discussion. I'll ask clerk to call the roll, please.
Axel?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Greg?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Thank you, council. Motion carries. We'll be in executive session, I would say, at about 10:13 here.